9:13 at the Big 550 KTRS. I am Paul Harris, back behind the microphone this morning. Thanks for listening. Thanks for following me on Twitter, at Paul Harris Show, or on my website, harrisonline.com. Will Durst is probably one of the best political comedians in this country, and he's been doing it for a very long time, and he's made fun of a lot of politicians through the years. And with the news this morning about the failure of the super committee, and of course the ongoing debate to see who will be the GOP opponent to Barack Obama and Occupy Wall Street and all these other stories going on in the world, I thought it would be interesting to get Will's unique perspective on these and other things in the news. And so here from San Francisco is Will Durst. Good morning, Will. How are you today?
Morning, Paul Harris. How are you doing, man?
It's good. Nice to hear your voice. Are you shocked at the failure of the super committee?
Yeah, that's exactly it. And you took the cue straight from Casablanca, too. Shocked. Shocked that the super committee, super Congress, was not able to, yeah. That was pretty much expected, wasn't it? I mean, that was written in stone.
I was saying earlier that Superman had an S on his chest. This 12-man group couldn't even spell S.
Not if you spotted him the R and the T, no. Super Congress, slower than a slug in Thor's in, less powerful than a soggy Kleenex, unable to compromise in a million years.
The funny thing about this story to me is the regular Congress, the entire 535 elected officials in Congress, plus their cohorts down at the other end of Pennsylvania Avenue in Barack Obama's White House, they couldn't come to a compromise on a deal this summer. So they set this thing up as a safety net because these 12 were certainly going to be able to accomplish something. But even if they didn't, we had another safety net beyond that, which is the automatic cuts. And the fear of those automatic cuts will certainly get this super committee to do what they're supposed to do. Wrong.
Well, not only that, but they also, they did it themselves. They threw the monkey wrench into the machine because the leadership, you know, it was the leadership. It was Pelosi and it was Boehner and Harry Reid, and they were the ones who got to appoint the super committee. Each leader of the House and the Senate from both parties got to appoint three, and they appointed three of their lackeys. You know, it weren't moderates that went on to that committee. So, yeah, they knew what was going to happen. You know, oh, we want to work with the other side. Yeah, same way a five-year-old with a magnifying glass wants to work with ants. The way a coyote wants to utilize a nest of baby ducks. So.
Do you think that when they were setting this whole thing up, they were simply playing the long game, which, of course, is all about blame in Washington?
Yeah, because the cuts don't actually go into effect until 2013, which just happens to be after the next election.
Yeah.
So they got another 12 months of finger-pointing that, you know, it's not our fault. But it's you know, it's pretty much both sides are at fault in this one.
Yeah, there's an AP story out this morning that says Congress may try blocking the cuts if the debt panel fails. So even though the safety net didn't work, so we had the secondary safety net of the automatic cuts in place, we can still say, screw the safety net. We're not going to cut anything.
Yeah, and then they'll make sure that there's a vote, and whoever votes against restoring the defense cuts, for instance, I think because the Republicans control the House, so that will definitely pass the House, but the Democrats control the Senate, so, you know, they'll be able to point fingers at each other. Well, he wanted to get rid of Medicare. Well, he wanted to cut the military, and that's, yeah, they have this game, they have this dance, you know. The steps are painted on the floor for us.
So they're setting themselves up purely to cut campaign commercials now, not to actually solve problems.
Well, that's been going on for a long time, Mr. Harris.
Yeah, that's true.
That's not new news, unfortunately.
Speaking of campaigns, there was yet another GOP debate.
I missed that one. I missed it totally. I didn't hear about it. And we had the big game out here. We had Stanford Cal on Saturday night, so I totally missed the religious debate.
Now, I didn't hear anything about this either before or afterwards, which I guess means that nobody put their foot in their mouth, a la Kane and Perry.
Well, it'd be pretty hard to replicate Perry's 53-second brain freeze. I mean, it only took the Niners 8 seconds longer to score 2 touchdowns last Sunday. The Niners!
Yeah, by the way, congratulations.
That was painful. I don't know if you saw that one.
I just want to say congratulations to the Bay Area for having a winning NFL team, which St. Louis is hoping to have again someday.
Yes, we're so excited, but we're also excited. May I extend the congratulations right back at you? You know, being the 2010 world champion baseball team, it's great to congratulate the 2011 World Series champions, and keeping the whatever they call that, the parade of flags, that little trophy, keeping it in the National League. Tired of hearing this American League supremacy stuff.
Yeah, that's a good thing. I like that.
Yeah, and now the Rams are going to go all the way this year too. So you'll have both baseball and football.
Yeah. When you say go all the way, the Rams are so bad this year they can't get tickets to the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's a rebuilding thing. I mean, the Niners last year.
I know. Yeah.
Last 8 years, you know, the Niners haven't made the playoffs. So this year they get a chance.
All right, let's go
back to the playoffs.
I got to go back to Rick Perry and Herman Cain, who must have been manna from heaven for a guy who does political comedy like you.
You know, I was at a gig last night, and I was talking about that. I was talking about how the year before the presidential election is usually the slack year, and then the presidential election year, you know, everything heats up.
Yep.
And this year has been just a cornucopia of delights. I mean, they're playing anybody but Romney. They are. Yeah. All right, who do we got running for president here? Well, there's Mitt Romney. That's great. What else do we have? You know, I mean, they keep looking around. They start with Sarah Palin and then Donald Trump. Oh, we got the Donald. Oh, no, he's really like that. And then Michelle Bachmann and then Rick Perry. Let's another governor from Texas. It worked out good last time. Let's see how he debates. Okay, it's not going to work out this time.
Yeah. And then Rick Perry. No, we can't have him. So how
Chris about, Christie? Remember they went after Chris Christie?
Yeah, I forgot about him.
Yes, he's too big to fail. He doesn't want to run? Well, we don't want him either. How about Herman Cain? And then Herman Cain, you know, Herman Cain, I love it. It's a classic case of he said, she said, she said, she said, she said, she said, she said.
My favorite part of the Herman Cain story is not the sexual harassment, and it's not that unbearably painful clip of him with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel editorial board trying to remember how to spell Libya. My favorite part with him was the let's electrify the fence along the border with Mexico. And then when he got called on it, what did he say? He said
it was a joke.
Yeah, I was just kidding. You guys have to develop a sense of humor. And I thought to myself, you know what? I know a lot of people with a really good sense of humor. None of them thought that was funny. And then after that, he still went back and said, I still want to do an electrified fence.
And alligators.
Oh, I didn't hear the alligators.
Yes, he wants to put alligators in a trench. Domestic alligators.
So they'd have to be on our side of the... We don't want any of those Mexican alligators coming through that fence. That's why it's electrified.
Hey, you know, if Herman Cain gets elected president, I think Mexico will have to erect the fence and control our immigration.
So now, I don't. Are we over the Herman Cain bubble yet? I mean, all the other people you mentioned, they bubbled and then burst. Has the Cain right. bubble burst now?
Well, there's two schools of thought on that. There's the polls, which show him dropping. And then there's his staff. And his staff says that the sexual harassment allegations have actually helped his campaign. Helped? Wow. You know? You think about it, if he got a false imprisonment charge thrown against him, he could wrap this thing up right now.
Yeah, I heard that he had got like $9 million in donations after the sexual harassment charges, and you know that John Huntsman's got to be thinking, well, who do I have to fondle?
Yeah, he's planting fondling seeds as we speak. It's funny, Huntsman is the only one who hasn't gotten a push. I mean, pretty much everybody except for Santorum and Huntsman have gotten a push right now, and I wish I were making this up. Newt Gingrich is rising in the polls, and in Iowa, Ron Paul is in third place. So it looks like everybody's getting their shot, you know, to shine in the polls, to be ABR, anybody but Romney.
Yeah.
And Newt Gingrich, you know, I mean, this guy has more baggage than the first flight out of O'Hare after a freak spring blizzard. I mean, you know. So, but he may be a womanizing, megalomaniacal know-it-all, but at least he's our megalomaniacal, womanizing know-it-all.
Yeah. Has there ever been anybody in politics with a snottier attitude than Newt Gingrich towards pretty much anybody who dares say hello to him?
Or, yeah, might even suggest that he answer a question. And I love his, and snotty is the perfect, it's the perfect description, the way he was, you know, always yelling at the reporters. It was always the media's fault, you know, for having a debate, you know. Well, I think getting Republicans to yell at one another, you know, it's a debate. That's the idea, is to come up with different ideas.
Yeah. Now, I do have to say one thing about our neighbors to the north in Iowa. Of course, they have all the attention, and I guess there's some pressure there as well because they have the first caucuses. But if anybody has ever gone back and studied presidential nomination history, they'll realize that Iowa pretty much gets it wrong all the time. This is a state that once thought Pat Robertson should be our president. You know, he carried the Iowa caucus.
I know. And the place is not, you know, it's not a slice of America. It's not the picture of diversity. Iowa is whiter than the Osmond family Christmas in Norway special. And New Hampshire, you know, it's a New Hampshire. I love New Hampshire because they're the only state in the union without a seatbelt law. They were somehow able to hang on to their federal funding, and it's not mandatory to wear your seatbelt in New Hampshire. So I love going up there. I mean, the freedom of not having to, you know, and then you get a little. Because we're so used to the seatbelts, we're so old, and we've used the seatbelts for so long that, you know, after about 50 miles driving from the Manchester airport, I immediately put my seatbelt on anyhow.
So you don't go for New Hampshire's new state slogan, seatbelt free or die.
Well, you know, that's all they have. They don't tell you that. But live free or die is only, you commie. Pinko yellow rat bastard is that, but it doesn't fit on the license plate.
Yeah. But you mentioned Ron Paul there for a second. I have a bet. I'm serious about this. I have a bet with a young friend of mine. He is a big Ron Paul supporter, and I think Ron Paul has said some very intelligent and important things, but I also think that he's just a little bit too far off the deep end, even for the Republican base, which has moved so far to the right. It's maybe unmeasurable at this point, but I have a bet with him, and the bet is that Ron Paul and I will end up with the exact same number of electoral votes next year.
I think you're in a pretty good state. You know, but he might. He has threatened, or he's allowed his people to threaten or to drop the hint that he may run as a third-party candidate if he does not like the final choice of the Republican Party.
Mitt Romney.
Which is, yeah, but Romney can't make it past that 30%. He just can't bump up. And I don't know if it's because certain portions of the Republican base think that Mormonism is a cult. And, you know, it's funny to have the Southern Baptists call Mormonism a cult. I mean, aren't those the snake handler guys? You know? Isn't that one of those pot with a kettle and the color black thing?
Yeah.
So I don't know what it is about Romney. I mean, he's so lifelike when you see him. My problem with him is not his policies, because his policies, I don't know, I guess they're what you might call fluid, you know?
Yeah.
because they're all over the place, to the point of gelatinous. But it's I want to know about his name. Obviously his first name is Willard.
Yep.
Which I think should be, disqualify him. Really, President Willard. It's too close to President Millard. We tried that; it didn't work.
Yeah. So you're saying we should have an attack ad that just says, "By the way, his first name's really Willard. We'll be over here if you need us."
and what is Mitt? What is Mitt? I mean, is it a diminutive of mittens? We don't know.
Well, you know his brother Glove.
Chainmail.
Now, we're bashing the Republicans, of course, because they're the ones who keep making headlines. There are so many more of them running for president this year because the Democrats only have one guy, their incumbent, Barack Obama. And I know that you were a fan of Obama's, and I wonder what you think of Obama now, 3 years into his presidency.
Well, my job isn't to be a fan. My job is, it doesn't matter who's in charge. My job is to be the opposition butt bird, to find the cracks and stick the chisel in there. And I think that's one of the things about Obama is that there's no scandal there, and people have dug. I bet you Hillary Clinton dug. Hillary, who had just turned 64 and announced to America that she felt like a 30-year-old, and Bill Clinton said, "Yeah, me too." you got to admit that Obama is smooth. No matter what you think of his policies, you got to admire his ability not to get involved in them. You're a great audience, Paul.
Thank you. Always, I appreciate that.
Always,
do you think that Obama wants to go down in history as the great compromiser, even if he can't convince the people on the other side to compromise?
Well, that's the thing. That's what he always was. All these progressives, they're all angry at him. Oh, he didn't pass the Rainbow in Every Country's Act. Well, he was never that guy. He was always the middle-of-the-road guy, and they just projected the fact that he wasn't Bush, which meant that, he was way left. He was on the other side of Fidel, and that was never true. He was always a facilitator. That's what Obama did in Illinois state politics and for the brief, what was he, in the U.S. Senate for 4 years? He didn't have this huge, he has no or else. That's the problem. When Johnson was president, he knew where every body was buried. He had the negatives. His idea of a compromise was letting you use your pen to sign his vow of allegiance. But Obama has, there is no or else. You do what he says or what? Or Joe Biden sits next to you in the congressional mess and cites interstate trucking regulations for a week while you eat? There is no cudgel with him.
That's right. Now, do you think part of Obama's problem is that he is, of course, the head of the Democratic Party, and getting that party to agree to all run in the same direction is pretty much the same as trying to get cats herded? You just, you're not going to be able to do it?
You're right. It is like herding cats. And, one of the things about being a political comic is, I try to be bipartisan. And taking out Democrats these days, it's painful. It's like punching a sick puppy in the face. You feel bad afterwards because they're useless. They don't even know they're in the middle of the war. The Republicans are attacking them with torches and pitchforks, and the Democratic response is to introduce legislation to reform pitchfork safety standards.
There you go. Will Durst is online at willdurst.com, and he tours the country. Unfortunately, he hasn't played here in St. Louis in a while, a situation that needs to be remedied, maybe by the Funny Bone or the Pageant or somebody else in town. In the meantime, you can find him online at willdurst.com and occasionally in the Huffington Post. And do you want to publicize your email, your weekly email, and get some more subscribers to that?
People can go to Facebook and Twitter, the whole panoply. I'm a twit head, so
yeah.
I twit a joke every day, just send something out, and I'm on Huffington Post and the Fox News website. So I'm hitting both sides of the fence.
There you go. At Will Durst is where you'll find him on Twitter. And it's always a pleasure. It's been too long, and I'm really glad we had a chance to talk this morning, Will. Thanks for your time.
For sure, Paul. It was an honor. Say hello to the rest of Missouri and go Rams.
Thank you very much. There's a political comedian. You could tell he's a comedian. He said, go Rams. Will Durst here with Paul Harris on the Big 550 KTRS.